That was just a rocking song. That's all it was. What I was made for, Big Daddy Weave on WWIB. And let's get Jason Kanz in here this morning. Good morning, Jason. How are you?
Good morning, Mark. I'm really good this morning.
I'm going to just say, I'm going to make sure what I think I screwed up. So I've already made a mistake this morning, so that's good to know. Well, maybe I didn't. Yeah. So we get these stories behind the song, and I dropped in the story for This Is What We Live For. Oh, so this is what, it was close. The song that popped up here this morning was Big Daddy Weave, What I Was Made For, but the story was for his newest song, This Is What We Live For. So you heard the story for a song that was not the one you just heard. So there you go.
Well, there you go. It's good to get the mistakes out of the way early in the day.
Yeah,
that way you don't have to do it later.
Exactly. Do you ever make mistakes at your job?
I do. And sometimes they're simple and sometimes they require big correction. Mm-hmm. And, I think that's the reality of life, is that we have to own that we all make mistakes at what we do.
Yeah.
And there's grace for that, I think, most of the time. So, sometimes that leads to angry patients, and we try to resolve it as well as we can.
Yeah. Yeah. Appreciate your openness on that. All right. So, when you make a mistake in radio, my first night I covered, it was the Whip Christmas party. I can still tell you, this is the crazy part of my memory sometimes. December 12th, 1985. I took over for one Dudley Donaldson, and as he left on a Saturday afternoon to go to the Whip Christmas party, and I was so new, that Green Banana, that I covered while they all partied. And so two bits of advice were, one, play music, and two, if you make a mistake, don't talk about it. So there you go. Because when you make a mistake in radio, everybody hears it, so don't go on and on about it. Anyhow, that's a good bit of advice. So I want to talk about mercy this morning. I've been wanting to talk about this. What is it with the fact, and obviously Jesus has got one or more parables on this, but thinking of one in Matthew, but the idea that do all of us crave mercy from God, right? You're not going to receive consequences that you deserve. I mean, we all crave that, right?
I think so. I think again, it ties into what we were just talking about. All of us make mistakes. I think sometimes our desire is to hide those mistakes, but really what we want to happen is to be seen where we're at, and again, to receive love and receive mercy. In other words, not to receive the punishment that we might deserve. For
right. And I want to get somewhere. So, we want it from God, and then do we want mercy from others? From your spouse, from your kids, from your coworkers? When we mess up, do we desire, don't treat me as my mistake deserves, right? We all want that.
Of course. I think that's absolutely true.
So then why is it? Here's the question, though, Dr. Kanz. Why is it that when we want it from God, mercy, we want it from others, but why is it that when it's in our power, that we're so heartless and merciless, it seems like, comparatively to what we would want others to treat us, it seems to me?
I think for part of that comes out of a place of guardedness. I think we're trying to guard our own hearts. And if we're living from that place of not wanting to get hurt, sometimes it feels more powerful or more strong to withhold mercy from others. It almost feels like it gives us a bargaining chip for later if we withhold mercy from others. And if we can keep others down without extending them the mercy that we would desire, it allows us to maintain a power relationship that, again, I think gives us a bargaining chip.
Interesting. Do you agree that is the case, though? Do you see it in you? Do you see it in, I guess it starts off with seeing it in us, but that, is it sort of puzzling? It's worth pondering the idea of we crave it so bad from God and from others, and yet we can be so slow to show it?
Yeah, I think I have felt that certainly a lot in the last few weeks leading up to November 3rd. I think there's this, my first gut instinct is to go to judgment and rather than mercy and compassion. And I think that reflects the state of my own heart. I think it reflects a self-centered attitude. And again, I think that's one of the things I need to kind of pay attention to and ask, why is it that I have a hard time giving space for what I perceive to be flaws in other people?
Yeah. And so, yeah, I guess it begins with us. I mean, again, that's where we can go wrong, is go out there finger pointing and say, oh, the rest of you, you know, I mean, it's like we to explore us and say, hey, I need to explore to what degree am I showing? I just am thinking of that book, Messy Spirituality, by Mike Iaconelli, yeah. God's annoying love for imperfect people. But I mean, just he talks about we become, you know, we get in by grace into the kingdom. And yet he says we become kingdom hall monitors who just are kind of monitoring who can get in and who can get out. And we get frustrated with that parable of the vineyard, where the people who come early and the people who come late, they can all get paid the same. And we hate that, I think.
I agree. I wrote a blog post years ago where I think I titled it Cutting Off the Ladder. You know, and it's we have this, we climb up and we cut off the rungs below us and then judge the people who are not coming up as fast as we are.
Yeah.
And, you know, rather than giving a helping hand, rather than saying, I see you, I acknowledge where you're at, and I'm going to love you anyway.
Yeah.
I think that goes against our natural inclinations. It almost requires a supernatural mercy.
I mean, every morning we try to play the Brennan Manning, God loves you as you are, not as you ought to be. And so, I mean, you know, put that on my tombstone or wherever, my urn of ashes when I die. And the fact of the matter is that, you know, as the late, great Dallas Willard said, Christianity is being loved in your mess. We've been loved, and now go and do likewise. So there we go.
Yeah, absolutely.
Thank you, Jason. Great talking to you.
You bet. Talk to you tomorrow.
Right. Hope Darst, Peace Be Still, WWIB. I think that's been a great song during this pandemic here, don't you?
I really have loved it. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Just a
great
phenomenal message and very well sung as well, too.
I feel like we're all in this big boat, you know, and Jesus, and we're like, Jesus, the pandemic. And he's like, Peace Be Still.
Yeah, right? I mean, and again, he can just calm it with a word. And then as the song says, too, you know, he can calm the storm in me. Wonderful song, Who Am I? Well,
so we're getting into that cold and flu season, right? On
yes.
top of the COVID. So.
And a survey says that most adults, about half of adults, still rely on a cold cure or remedy from their parents, that their parents told them as a child. So again, you know, there's different advances in medical science and knowledge, but a lot of us say, hey, well, this is what mom always did, this is what dad always did, etc.
Yeah.
So we have a list of 10 top home remedies for a cold passed down through generations. I'd be curious to hear your reactions at 396-1670, our WIB listener line. Do you do any of these? And actually, we have 9, I think. And do you do any of these? And do they work?
All right.
You think they work? So let's go with number 10.
Number 10. I don't remember this one. Place unpeeled onions in every room to soak up viruses.
Does that work with corona?
Never heard it before.
Again, cold cures passed down from our parents. Avoid dairy to minimize congestion.
Mm. Yeah.
Okay.
Well, some people do. Number 7, I guess. Honey and lemon to soothe the sore throat. Yeah. I think of the honey and lemon sore throat lozenges a lot
sure,
of times.
Sure, sure. Number 6. Oh, you've heard this. Chicken soup for the soul. Chicken soup can cure a cold, is this parental remedy.
Boy, what a bust out of best-selling books with all the chicken soup for the soul books, huh? The next one, number 4, take vitamin C to cure a cold. Yeah, a lot of people just kind of load up on that.
Yeah, yeah. And again, a lot of times it's because parents said that too. If you have a sore throat, gargle salt water. That's something I know I've done.
Put your head over a bowl of steaming water to ease congestion.
I don't know that I've done that, but I've seen that, you know, where it's like the towel over your head and you're trying to like waft the steam up into your nostrils and stuff. I've heard of people doing that, but I don't know that I've ever tried it myself. Cold remedies from parents, feed a cold and starve a fever. I've heard that before.
I have. Yeah, that's a well-known saying. And number 1, can we get a drum roll here, please? The number 1. Home remedy for a cold passed down through the generations. Smell menthol to clear a blocked nose. All right, so it was yesterday evening. My wife was away. It must have been after. I'd already walked the dogs. We've got Athena, the slightly overweight Aussie Shepherd, and we've got the wonderful black poodle, little mini poodle there, Wesley. And so they're back from their walk. I've already fed them dinner, and they're barking because somebody's at the front door. And
okay.
Lo and behold, it's a political canvasser. So I decided, I mean, between the robocalls and the canvassers, and so I was careful to, we've got two front doors, and the screen door, and then you got the heavier wood door. Anyhow, I go out, and so visiting and basically wanted to know if I was going to vote for Joe Biden. And so I said that wasn't my plan. And so I came back and, but did not firmly secure. Before I got the wood door shut, Athena burst through the screen door. So she's
It's amazing
out there.
How small dogs can make themselves when they need to get through.
Oh, yeah, and she just kind of can burst through, you know. She's just like charging out for the football game or something. Yeah. And so she's out there, and we have at times had a front gate on the front porch, but not currently. And so she's out without the leash, and so she's kind of going, you know, barking, and I just told the man to stand still. And he kind of gradually made his way down the street as Athena herself kind of jagged into the road, across the street. Again, it's kind of a quiet side street. I'm chasing her, feeling like a fool. I mean, I'm just like, she's not that fast. I said already she's slightly overweight, probably, but I mean, the fact is that I could not catch her. And might as well catch a grease pig.
I'm just thinking about this poor political canvasser who, again, is representing a candidate that you said, I'm not going to support. And then it's like, wow, he was so polite to me. And then he set his dog loose.
Right, I know. And so he was polite. And he even gave a sanctity of life reason. And then the bottom line is that we continued to, I couldn't. He goes, well, if I just kind of gradually leave, I think it'll all be fine. I said, don't count on that. I mean, I'm like, and she's going backyards and there's different things. Yes, later my wife's like, you know, the treats are here. I'm like, I didn't want to go in the house and just lose her.
That's the tough thing, too, because you're like, how far is she going to run? How far is she going to take this?
And then we do have something. The guy goes, does she respond to the sit command? I'm like, yeah, I don't think so right now. We've had her in. We're having this conversation. I'm like, we've had her in dog school.
Here's the thing, Halville. Maybe you, like Rambo, need to have a bandolier, but instead of ammunition, it needs to have dog treats, and you just always have that on you, so you're ready.
Probably.
A necklace of some sort.
My car was locked. I was out there without a winter coat. If I opened my car, maybe she would have come in there. Eventually, pretending, I think, typically it would be Cookie. If you say Cookie, she wasn't responding to that. She was just like, yeah, forget cookies. I just ate. So ultimately,
I'm good.
I think I was able to, I'm trying to think what it was. I don't know, pretending some snow was something. I don't know, something. I was able to corral her and carry her all the way home.
But, did you get the exercise that you were hoping for as well, both of you?
I was huffing and puffing, and she went into her kennel for a while. And so that is the story.
It's like, well, you appreciate the why, but I mean, you just get a dog that runs loose from time to time. You'll get that cardio.
You do. Absolutely. All right, dipping into the mailbag, we've got six letters here. So, Caleb, why don't you start us off?
All right. So, again, October Connect Month, we received this letter from Daniel and Barbara in Eau Claire. And Barbara says, thank you for your wonderful WWIB radio station. I have been a faithful listener for years. Your station has been a blessing in my life in so many ways. Thank you so much for that message from Eau Claire.
How about Carol from Winona Lake, Indiana? Yes, she used to live in the area. She's been in Indiana for a while. She says, happy to connect with you this October letter month. Dates me, doesn't it? She says, blessed to be able to partner with you, and she's made a partner pledge.
Wonderful.
And keep Christian radio going strong in northwestern Wisconsin. Love you, folks. And I sure hope she's listening on wib.com. I believe she is.
Here's one from the island city of Cumberland, Wisconsin, from David and Deborah. And they say, thank you so much. We listen to the radio 80% of our day. Hmm. Appreciate that very much.
I love that. Yeah. And the island city where Mark Schultz will be November 15th.
November 15th. Yeah. Looking forward to that concert very much.
We should try to get an interview with him before.
Yeah,
that.
Yeah. I think there is talk of that. We just have to get it actually hammered out.
Let's go to Hayward. Cliff and Colleen say, we thank all of you for all the work, time, and energy put into the radio station to help bring the word of the Lord to many who never hear the message of salvation. God bless you for all of your faithfulness. And they make a generous donation.
And here's one from Shirley Ann from beautiful Hawkins, Wisconsin. And she says, greetings from beautiful Hawkins, Wisconsin, which is probably where I got that term. She says, hello, WWIB radio staff. Thank you for being there 24 hours a day. She says, I'm 83 years young. She has very good handwriting and says, I just love your station. She says, I do wish you would play more polka with a smiley face. And she says, love the music. And thanks to names a bunch of our staff members. And she says, been listening for 40 plus years now. Keep up the excellent work. WWIB is truly a blessing to Wisconsin and around the world. So thank you so much, Shirley Ann. Very gracious from Hawkins, Wisconsin.
And my final one, we talk about great listeners. How about great listening families like the Schneiders
yes.
in La Crosse? One of the Schneiders, this is Michelle. She says, Dear Wib, hello. I would just like to take a moment to say how grateful I am to have such a Christ-centered radio station I can listen to each day. I love it. It's positive, encouraging. And I support it 100%. The music is uplifting, powerful, and it takes out all the negative. It really does, you know. Mm. The programs are also a great yes, for they give much-needed hope, especially during these times. Our communities are blessed to have such a wonderful radio station. So thankful for all you do, and I pray that you stay on the air for many years to come. God bless.
Thank you again so much for all of these. As we're asking you to connect with us and reach that goal of 499, we're only two away from our goal of 499 connections here in October. But I would say, at least in my life, Havo, reading these things, it's easy to become, you know, in Galatians it says, do not become weary in doing good. It can really get wearying in different ministry settings. And so just seeing these, at least in my life, it really helps me continue on. God uses it so much to encourage me and say, hey, what this station is doing is worthwhile. And I, meaning God, I am using it in people's lives for my glory. And so thank you so much to everyone who writes or texts or emails or stops in or calls.
Absolutely. It's always been a great encouragement over the years, and it continues that way here on WWIB. And we're, you know, near the latter part of not only October Connect Month, but 2020. We're making it through day at a time. And baby names. Kobe is up. Karen is down.
And that's something that I think from the events of this year that maybe you would expect. And of course, Kobe Bryant tragically passing away with his daughter Gianna. And seems so long ago now, too. And yet also not that far away. But again, so that name definitely rising in popularity, Kobe. And then, of course, Karen has kind of fallen out of fashion because on social media and such, too, Karen has been used as a derogatory term. I would say that stands up to the eye test.
So I guess they say for this year, for boys, Liam took the top spot for the second year in a row after overthrowing longstanding favorite Jackson last year.
Oh, I didn't know Jackson got toppled. Most popular name for girls and continuing her dominance since 2010 when the Packers last won a Super Bowl, Sophia.
Hmm.
That's interesting. Where does that come from? Because I know when my Lily, who's now 9, was about 3, she loved a show called Sophia the First. And it was
okay.
It was a show about a princess. So I don't know if that had anything
there
to do with
probably.
Sophia's popularity.
Popular media does.
Beautiful name.
Yeah, most of the top 20 names, including Olivia, Emma, Noah, Lucas, were no strangers to the top of the annual list. In fact, there was only one new addition to that select group this year, Mateo.
Mateo, okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, not as familiar with that. So.
No. The name Karen, which this year acquired a new and unflattering meaning, dropped 153 spots after becoming shorthand for in kind of a negative way, I guess, in terms of a social media context. And we felt for Karens.
Yeah, because we know, again, I think we all know some beautiful, wonderful Karens,
yes,
too.
So I can think of a couple here in the Chippewa Valley that are top-notch.
So kind of sad to see that. Interesting, another casualty in the baby naming universe falling 121 spots, Alexa. Because, again, Alexa's a beautiful name.
I know it is.
But, I mean, and here's the thing. Every time you call your kid, if you're setting off devices in your house, I could see how that might be something you'd want to avoid.
Exactly. Anything. Now, Kamala, which rose from relative obscurity, jumped 104% in popularity this year. She was tabbed by Joe Biden. Kamala Harris out of California, his running mate, the election a week from today. Kobe was far and away the biggest riser on the boys' list, climbing 379 spots to number 216. His 13-year-old daughter, Gianna, who was with him in that shocking helicopter accident, that was this year, by the way.
Yeah.
That name also saw a big increase in popularity, moving up 52 spots to number 24. Gianna Jessen is one of the most fascinating people I've ever met, a survivor of a botched abortion. And so she's quite a courageous person. So
amazing.
Yeah. So there you go. That's
your baby name update in case, maybe you're 7-8 months along and you're still kind of thinking about... what to name the baby? Well, the Wib Wake Up Show is here to serve.
I was with some friends the other night. We had dinner, and their daughter named their first child Disney. And so everybody in the family wants to know, and she's pregnant. And everybody wants to know, what do you do for an encore? I suggested Pixar.
Oh, okay.
But anyhow, we'll have to see what they come up with.